Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live and includes readings from the Old and New Testaments and a reflection. Our readings today are taken from Exodus 8, verses 1 to 19, and Hebrews 11, verses 17 to 31. The reflection is by the Reverend Fabian Wirtz, entitled, Trust in the Lord.
Amen. We have our reading from Exodus chapter 8, 1 to 19. Thank you, Chris.
Then the Lord said to Moses, Go to Pharaoh and say to him, Thus says the Lord, Let my people go so that they may worship me. If you refuse to let them go, I will plague your whole country with frogs. The river shall swarm with frogs. They shall come up into your palace, into your bedchamber and your bed, and into the houses of your officials and of your people, and into your ovens and your kneading bowls. The frogs shall come up on you and on your people and on all your officials. And the Lord said to Moses, Say to Aaron, stretch out your hand with your staff over the rivers, the canals, and the pools, and make the frogs come upon the land of Egypt. So Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. But the magicians did the same by their secret arts and brought frogs up on the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh called Moses and Aaron and said, Pray to the Lord to take away the frogs from me and my people, and I will let the people go to sacrifice to the Lord. Moses said to Pharaoh, Kindly tell me when I am to pray for you and for your officials and for your people, that your frogs may be removed from you and your houses and be left only in the Nile. And he said, Tomorrow. Moses said, As you say, so that you may know that there is no one like the Lord our God. The frogs shall leave you and your houses and your officials and your people. They shall be left only in the Nile. Then Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried out to the Lord concerning the frogs that he had brought upon Pharaoh. And the Lord did as Moses requested. The frogs died in the houses, the courtyards, and the fields, and they gathered them together in heaps, and the land stank. But when Pharaoh saw that there was a respite, he hardened his heart and he would not listen to them, just as the Lord had said. Then the Lord said to Moses, Say to Aaron, stretch out your staff and strike the dust of the earth, so that it may become gnats throughout the whole land of Egypt. And they did so. Aaron stretched out his hand with his staff and struck the dust of the earth, and gnats came on humans and animals alike. All the dust of the earth turned into gnats throughout the whole land of Egypt. The magicians tried to produce gnats by their secret arts, but they could not. There were gnats on both humans and animals. And the magicians said to Pharaoh, This is the finger of God. But Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he would not listen to them, just as the Lord had said.
This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Then the New Testament is taken from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 17 to 31.
By faith, Abraham, when put to the test, offered up Isaac. He who had received the promises was ready to offer up his only son, of whom he had been told, It is through Isaac that descendants shall be named after you. He considered the fact that God is able even to raise someone from the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. By faith, Isaac invoked blessings for the future on Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave instructions about his burial. By faith, Moses was hidden by his parents for 3 months after his birth because they saw the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called a son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to share ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered abuse suffered for the Christ to be greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking ahead to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, unafraid of the king's anger, for he persevered as though he saw him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as if it were dry land, but when the Egyptians attempted to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient because she had received the spies in peace. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you very much. Two readings that are linked with a person, Moses. New Testament reading speaks of Moses and what by faith things were accomplished, whether it was his parents, himself, or the people of God. And in the first reading is about the start of the plagues. And just starting this first reading in the Old Testament, and one of the things that I couldn't remember, I've always thought that whatever miracle came upon, kind of plague came upon, it was Moses raising his hands for, because the famous picture is Moses raising his hands for departing the sea. But actually it's Aaron. Each time he says, say to Aaron, and Aaron has to do it. So look forward to see of the other plagues is throughout the plagues. Aaron is not just a mouthpiece, and that was his kind of job. Moses was afraid to speak. He thought that he had speech impediment or that he wasn't very eloquent, and God granted him to have his brother with in those very important times. The second is that the plagues were not kind of nonsense plagues. There were signs to Pharaoh of the kind of God Moses and Aaron were obedient to, and of course the Nile was a god for the Egyptians. So to have plagues coming out of the Nile was a clear manifestation of the God of Israel, who was the only God. And we see in that passage that while in the first instance the magicians were able to kind of copy, but they were not able to stop the plague, but they were kind of copying. The second one, they were not able. And as a result, they cry out, this is the finger of God. They found out that, of course, in those days, they believed in many, many gods. But even if we believe in many gods, there must be one that's maybe superior to them all. So they realize this is the one. This is the one that rules them all in their understanding. And of course, for us, there is only one. There is no other gods but the Creator and the one who is leading Israel out of captivity. So this one, and the testimonies, the works of Moses are then put back in this chapter 11, which speaks of all the acts of faith of many people in the Old Testament. And taking them slowly, they're all kind of acts of faith. Sometimes they're very practical. By faith, the parents hid Moses. That was a practical act of trust. Sometimes they're about perseverance. Sometimes they're about standing for injustice. By faith, Moses stood up. And he refused to be called son of Pharaoh's daughter choosing rather to share the ill treatment of his people than to enjoy the fleeting pleasure of sin. He was unafraid of the king's anger, by sometimes face his courage to do things that are risky, but we do it by faith. So plenty of actions and ways to express faith that speaks to me and speaks to us. We are called to be people who walk by faith, not by sight. And what does it mean for us as St. James? What does it mean in our context, in our family or working place or community, to walk by faith? And of course, the chapter starts with what is faith? And says faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Faith moves us forward in trust and in obedience. And it makes things happen because we trust that what we believe God is calling us to do or to be or to act, he's also able to sustain and to give us the strength. So faith is at the heart of our walk, our Christian walk. It is faith, trust in the promises of God. And as we turn slowly towards the cross, it is that trust that on the cross, Jesus carried the sins of the whole world, including mine. But it is a reality that requires an action, our choice to hand over our lives so that they are lived in Jesus and through Jesus. And then he calls us to walk by faith in whatever that might mean for us individually or as a church. So for me, it's to pray that we will be faithful, full of faith, full of trust, discerning, being guided. And it doesn't mean that we will get everything perfect. Actually, faith means, you know, trying and sometimes failing and errors. Edison, I think, I don't know how many thousands of times he tried to produce that light, but he had faith. He had trust that at least it would bring results, but it started with many failures. So we don't need to be afraid to take risks, to fail. Actually, it's a proof that we are going somewhere and that we're trying to achieve what we believe God has put on our hearts. So a little bit of thoughts about faith and Moses, something else in this passage, maybe one of the type of faith that for you speaks maybe more personally or clearly.
I think to try to explain faith to someone that isn't a believer, it's very difficult for someone like me. So I hold on to that first couple of verses in Hebrews 11. And I've always managed to fix the words through the Good News Bible version. And that's sure and certain. Faith gives a surety and a certainty. I've just written it down here. To have faith is to be sure of what you hope for, certain of what you cannot see. And yeah, so it's a difficult one, but when you have faith, it's, well, when times are tough, you just have that, well, certainty that it's in God's hands. And at God's right time, it will be sorted in the way that he wants. So,
I think what
sure and certain.
What you've just said, Lynn, is making faith similar to belief. I don't think there's a scrap of anything wrong with that. I do prefer to think of faith as trust. And, you know, if I believe that God says to love my neighbour as myself, then I exercise that belief, that faith, by making that my priority in the day. So that's where I come from in the matter of faith at the moment, that faith is trust. If they're closely wrapped together, if I, you know, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, therefore what he says is important. So I think it's got to be worked out.
I like often to point to people that everyone lives by faith. Everyone. And to point to example, they sit on the chairs by faith. But it links to belief. Because they believe, you know, there's some facts about the reality of they've experienced a chair that's, you know, that's secure, and they might know a little bit of the physics behind it, but they still have to sit on it by faith. They still have to make that choice. And so our faith is not, it's built on a certain amount of facts, realities, you know, experiences, things we've discovered ourselves, you know, the reality, the historical reality of resurrection. But there is a, like you said, Lynn, a spiritual dimension that we can't explain. There is a God coming to us, opening our eyes, strengthening our faith. I think to help people realize, everyone, even someone who says, I have no faith, well, yes, we have lots of faith in lots of things. But yes, what does it mean to have to trust, to come to trust God? Mm. And that's through the experience, the reality that, and the knowledge, you know, how will they know if no one speaks to them about God's character and what God then? And sharing our story is the first step sometimes for people to start opening themselves to the possibility you know, that actually, yes, there is a God, and this God is good, and he's worthy of my trust and faith.
Mm. And he speaks to us through his word. And as you were speaking, Chris, probably my all-time favourite, is it Proverbs 6, something like that? I'm not very good at remembering where I hear read these things. But trust in the Lord with all your heart. Mm. Lean not on your own understanding. Seek him in all you do, and he will show you the way. And I have to say, you know, I carry a little cross in my pocket, and when I feel a bit wobbly, I usually hold on to it and say those words in my head. Mm-hmm. And you're so right. It is our trust in the Lord. And he gives a surety and a certainty that all will be well. Maybe not the way I see it, but the way he sees it. And what a blessing to have him in our lives.
Yes, on that, I'd like to bring in a verse from the Psalm. Psalm verses aren't numbered, but it's about two-thirds of the way through. If you move to the more Catholic end of the church, then when someone dies, they tend to say, may he or she rest in peace and rise in glory.
Rise in glory,
And here we have, you will guide me with your counsel and afterwards receive me with glory. A nice look forward to future glory.
Gosh, that makes you tingle.
Yes.
Something to look forward. Well, let's pray, and we share that church that one of our church member Estelle, sister, died suddenly. So let's pray for the family. Anthony is the husband and their two children. Continue to pray for someone called Graham, who's going through a really dark time with his family. His daughter took her own life. Daughter of 17, the person in Jewish. So let's keep praying for her, and praying for our own need, for the faith of the church, for its testimonies. I think we're moving, we're drawing near to reflecting on testimonies and witness. That's what we are called to share, something of our trust and faith, and and pointing to times and places, and we saw the goodness and the strength that God gives. And so let's pray. Jesus, I remember the promise of being blessed, us who haven't seen and yet have come to trust, to believe that you really rose from the dead, conquered death, that you are the rescuer, the promised Messiah. In a sense, for those first followers, the disciples, they saw you, they touched you, they knew for certainty what they had seen. We trust in their testimonies, their witness, because we know they were with you and they were willing to give their own life to that testimony. Thank you that our trust in you is not just on shaky grounds and feelings, but it's solid evidence. But we also know that just that is not enough to open our eyes. And so we thank you for the grace we have received through the Holy Spirit. The day you called us to trust, to receive, and to start walking with you. Lord, we want to acknowledge your goodness in our lives as we look back, your faithfulness, your amazing grace and mercy. And as you continue to guide us through your counsel, we look forward for the day when we will see you in glory.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website, www.stjamestaunton.co.uk, and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.